listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks.
There's just so much to get into about this assassination. I mean, there's more and more coming up. Even the official story, and this is how you know it's real. The official story is not making the authorities look good at all. At all. And if they intended to have this happen, they wouldn't make it look like it was their fault. They wouldn't have all these security lapses. So much of this is real incompetence. Some of it certainly reeks of cover-up and of purposeful design. The level of mistakes is so great that it does beggar belief that such a thing could actually occur on accident. And so this AP article that lays it out pretty clearly, actually. I mean, just it's so unbelievable. Listen to this paragraph. The young man was pacing around the edges of Donald Trump campaign rally, shouldering a big backpack and peering into the lens of a rangefinder towards the rooftops behind the stage where the former president would stand within the hour. His behavior was so odd, so unlike that of other rallygoers, that local law enforcement took notice, radioed their concerns, and snapped a photo, but then he vanished. I mean, just think about that. Just think about the level of failures that allows this occurrence alone to have taken place. This guy could not have acted more suspicious if he tried. He may have been trying. There may have been some subtle, psychological thing that where he's like, he wanted to get caught because he literally, he's walking around looking, using a range finder, a tool for snipers to look at rooftops. He's got a big backpack full of who knows what. He's acting suspicious around the metal detectors. He's wandering around just looking like cartoonishly suspicious. It really is crazy. And we can go back to that video. You guys showed it earlier. I'm not sure if you had the actual video or pulling it up on a webpage, but the video of him like an hour before just wandering around and looking at the rooftops. And you see, he's there in the background of this video. And he's by himself. He's totally alone. Nobody else is even anywhere around him. He's just like standing around, like looking around and kind of like looking down, like looking over. Like it's cartoonishly suspicious the way this guy acts. I have the video, but I'm not able to pull it in right now, guys. So I don't know. Here, we can pull it up on my screen if that's possible. This is 1 hour before the shooting. And you can see Crooks in the background here. So that's him in the background, right? And look, he's just standing around. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing, and how did nobody see him? Just wandering around all by himself way over here. With his hand in his pocket, oh, walk this way, walk a little this way, just lurk around, just this greasy, pale goblin lurking on the edge. After previously, an hour before being seen with a rangefinder and acting suspicious, I mean, the level of failure, security failure that happened here, is this even a security failure? It looks like the kid was allowed to do it. So they say he vanished. He vanished after they snapped the photo of him acting so oddly. The image was circulated by officers stationed outside the security perimeter on that hot, sunny Saturday afternoon, but the man didn't appear again until witnesses saw him climbing up the side of a squat manufacturing building that was within 135 meters from the stage. Video shows the shooter on a rooftop. That's where he opened fire 6 minutes after Trump began speaking in an attempt to assassinate the presumptive GOP nominee. The gunman killed one rallygoer and seriously wounded two others. Trump suffered an ear injury but was not seriously hurt, appearing just days later at the RNC. They say it's becoming increasingly clear that this was a complicated failure involving multiple missteps and at least 9 local and law and federal law enforcement divisions that were supposed to be working together. A coincidence, accident, or betrayal. I'll tell you why betrayal is the reality. I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Life line. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now at 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
Record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This AP article characterizes the 13th as a complicated failure involving multiple missteps in at least 9 local and federal law enforcement divisions that were supposed to be working together. On Saturday, the show of force included members of at least 6 different agencies, including 2 sheriff's offices, local police, state police, and multiple teams within the Secret Service, plus fire and emergency rescue officials. And there's a lot of confusion that comes about because of the number of agencies actually involved in this. And I think that this has allowed the Secret Service to sort of get some of the suspicion off of their shoulders, but doing it in a very dishonest way. For example, and I'm not totally sure about any of this, but I do know that the head of the and this was supposed to be by a Derelict Republic at Rev Anon 1776. So. Or no, this is a different, this is a different one. But essentially, the Secret Service head was asked, Cheadle, or whatever her name is, was asked, did you remove any Secret Service agents from Trump's detail to cover Jill Biden? Because you had Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump all with events in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they're all like very closely located near each other geographically. And she said, no, she said not a single asset was removed from Trump's detail at all to go to Jill Biden. That didn't happen because that was some of the suspicion that was happening earlier. But then I've heard other reports that that's because it was the state police that were taken away from the Trump detail and sent to Jill Biden. So again, there's like all these things where the Secret Service head is saying, well, Secret Service, none of those assets were taken away. Like, okay, but what about other assets? What about local police assets or state police assets that were going to be assigned to Donald Trump, but instead were diverted to cover Jill Biden? She didn't mention that. She just said no secrets. No Secret Service was taken away. In the same way, she said the local police were in charge of securing the outside perimeter, but then the local police put out a statement saying, no, that was not our job, that all we were doing was traffic detail. In fact, we have that video here. So this is the Butler Township Police Commissioner, clip 13, saying the Secret Service director was lying and trying to put the blame on him and his guys, because she said, well, this was outside the perimeter. This was in the purview of the local police. And the local police commissioner calls in to Fox News and says this.
What prompted me to post and on the social media platform last night, and of course, obviously talked to you today, is that our local Butler Township Police, their duties that were assigned to them, and we have an operational plan that details all that, were strictly traffic detailed. They were not required or not detailed to any security detail related to the event. It's strictly traffic to help people coming in and out of the event. If there is an emergency, those type of things. We saw the number of people, the number of cars at the event. And I was so frustrated and quite frankly hit my limit again last night when I saw, again, Secret Service says it was the responsibility of the local police department. That's absolutely not correct.
Yeah, the local police department is not the entity in charge of the safety and protection of a president or a former president. But once this started to happen, once this shooting began to unfold, the local officers did then try to assist, try to see if they could do anything, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, so, again, I'm not sure if this is miscommunication or if maybe she is just lying. Right, Secret Service, and it doesn't even make sense anyway, right? The Secret Service is in charge of protecting the president, and they might want to delegate, certain operations to local police, but they are still in charge. Secret Service is still the one responsible. Okay, so it doesn't even matter if it was. Secret Service was told police could not watch building used by a Trump rally shooter. This is the thing. I mean, the news is coming in so fast. It's like, I don't even know what's true anymore. So, because the idea was that when she said local police and this local police officer is like, no, that's a lie. But then it's like, oh no, actually she meant the state police, not the local precinct. It's very confusing. They did their job. Butler Township official details officer interaction with Trump rally shooter. So yeah, he was pretty pissed that she was sort of laying the blame on them. She was like, you just told us to direct traffic. We did a great job. We did our job. We directed the hell out of that traffic. We weren't in charge of stopping snipers. That's you. But regardless, this Secret Service director, Cheadle, should have resigned immediately, obviously, refuses to do so. She is responsible for bringing DEI to Secret Service, which is absurd and certainly contributed to the failures surrounding this. But even the official story is laying the blame at the feet of the Secret Service and their litany of security failures. They say in this AP article, the Secret Service controls the area inside the perimeter after people pass through metal detectors. Local law enforcement is supposed to handle the outside perimeter. Okay, except if there's a, sniper vantage point outside the perimeter, in which case that is still very much under the purview of Secret Service. The shooter, later identified as Crooks, disappeared from the crowd of Trump supporters decked out in red, white, and blue. The stream of supporters entering through the metal detectors was slowing. Trump was getting ready to get on. The rooftop from which Crooks fired is in a complex of buildings that form AGR International Inc., a supplier of automation equipment for glass and plastic packaging industry. The building was closed for the day except to law enforcement. Crooks was spotted again when members of the local SWAT team stationed inside the building complex noticed him walking around and looking up at the roof, which would be probably that video that we showed you earlier, stuff like that. One officer took a photo of Crooks and radioed to others to be on the lookout for a suspicious person looking through a rangefinder, a small device resembling binoculars that hunters use to measure distance from a target. Not long after, witnesses reported seeing him scaling the SWAT building closer to the stage. He then set up his AR-style rifle and lay on the rooftop, a detonator in his pocket to set off crude explosives, devices that were stashed in his car parked nearby. Outside, a local police officer climbed up on the roof to investigate. The gunman turned and pointed his rifle at him. The officer did not or could not fire a single shot, but Crooks did, firing into the crowd towards the former president, sending panicked spectators ducking for cover. A Secret Service agent shielded Trump and pulled him from the stage. Two counter-sniper teams were stationed on buildings behind Trump, and the team farther away from Crooks fired once, killing him. The FBI and Secret Service officials laid out a clear timeline in a congressional briefing Wednesday. Crooks was identified as a potential threat a full hour before shots were fired. They saw him with the rangefinder roughly 40 minutes before the shooting and then spotted him again looking through the rangefinder about 20 minutes before the shooting. All of these documented. We're speaking of a failure, said Alejandro Mayorkas. We're going to analyze through an independent review how that occurred, why it occurred, and make recommendations and findings to make sure it doesn't happen again. House Oversight Committee Republicans have subpoenaed Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle. House Speaker Mike Johnson said he would set up a task force to investigate, and some Republicans have called on Cheadle to resign. Biden has ordered an independent review of the shooting. Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General also opened up an investigation into the Secret Service's handling of the shooting. But at the end of the day, the FBI is the one in charge of the investigation, and they have a history of destroying evidence that comes into their possession or it goes missing. But often it's destroyed. And these are also the same people with a well-documented history of lying and cheating and covering up in order to destroy Donald Trump. These are the same people that signed the letter calling Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation in order to get Joe Biden in. These are the same people that ran with Crossfire Hurricane, knowingly using false information supplied by a rival campaign to surveil and terrorize Donald Trump and his family and hamstring his entire administration. These are the same people that let Hillary Clinton off for having a email server in her bathroom that she wiped despite it being under subpoena. Suffice it to say, not only has the FBI not earned our trust in this regard, they have demonstrated beyond any doubt of their willingness to lie and cheat and ruin people's lives for their political goals. So we're in a very dangerous situation. And Congress is demanding to talk to Secret Service about how this happened. And Alejandro Mayorkas is stepping in to say no and deny them the ability to perform oversight. This is a coup taking place. This assassination attempt was an attempted coup. The Secret Service director agreed to testify. But when was this story? Because she agreed to testify, and then that was this morning at 9:37. All right, so another twist in the story. So originally she had agreed to testify, and then Mayorkas blocked that. But now I guess she has agreed to testify again. I don't know if y'all can print out that story. This was what I had yesterday evening. Mayorkas is blocking Secret Service director from testifying. The DHS has opened an investigation. Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill have lost separate investigations, and they've called on her, on this director, Kimberly Cheadle, to testify on Monday, July 22nd. But then Alejandro Mayorkas is attempting to block Cheadle from testifying. But now I guess she's agreed to testify, so we'll see how that works out. But again, if Congress allows themselves to be usurped like this, that really is it for any semblance of democracy in this country. But let's get into some of the real interesting twists in this. Some real bizarre occurrences. This is what was posted to me by Derelict Republic at Revenon1776. He says, basically, ABC just reported that the ATF was able to trace the rifle's serial number and purchaser from a decades-old carbon copy receipt that the PA State Police put in the federal registry, all of that in just 30 minutes. Under current Pennsylvania state law, that record was supposed to have been destroyed no more than 72 hours after the approval for purchase. Background check. Talk about fishy. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. So they mention in this, the ABC article details how they, you know, checked this gun out. Pennsylvania law requires that information received by the Pennsylvania State Police pursuant to a sale is destroyed within 72 hours of the completion of a background check. The Pennsylvania Firearm Association notes that the Pennsylvania State Police nonetheless keeps a sales database of all handguns purchased within the state. The database was challenged based on what was asserted as the unambiguous text of the statute, allowing, quote, nothing shall be construed to allow any government or law enforcement agency or any agent thereof to create, maintain, or operate any registry of firearm ownership within this commonwealth. So this seems to show that records are being kept illegally of who owns guns in Pennsylvania. This is from a ABC 6 article, how the ATF identified the Trump rally shooter in 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes at Donald Trump's Pennsylvania rally of the shooting, they used a Byzantine paper record system to track down decades-old gun sales to help identify the 20-year-old would-be assassin. So that's interesting. They've got a firearm database that they're not constitutionally allowed to have that they use to identify this guy. Now this, and in fact, let's talk about the gun, because the gun apparently belonged to his father. This guy, Thomas Crooks, lived with his parents. And there's some confusion here. At least I'm a little bit confused at how this story laid out. Because originally, the way I heard it was that this guy's parents heard about the shooting. Like they saw on the news that there had been a shooting. And it was at that point that they sort of looked around and went, wait, where's our son? And then the dad went and checked his gun safe or checked where his guns are and saw one was missing and then called the police basically to say, uh-oh, I think we may know who the shooter was because we can't find our son and one of my guns is missing. So that's how I originally heard it. Now it's being reported that they attempted to contact police before the shooting ever happened. I'm not exactly sure which is the truth or what. Yeah, Trump shooter's parents called police hours before assassination attempt. So this makes less sense to me because this guy's he's a 20-year-old dude. Why would your parents call the police just because they can't find you for a few hours on a Saturday if you're 20 years old? Like that would make sense if the dude was, you know, 14. If he was in high school or something, it would maybe make sense to call the police if he's missing. But who calls unless they had a suspicion that he was going to do something? In which case, why did they have that suspicion and what did he said before that made them suspicious? Why would they call the police because their 20-year-old son is not at home? I mean, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Maybe we can fill in some gaps, but let's take a look at the news report talking about this. Clip number 14. Here's Fox News, or I believe it's Fox News, reporting on the fact that Thomas Matthew Crooks' parents called law enforcement before the rally to warn them. Let's watch.
Rally shooter Thomas Crooks' parents were looking for him in the hours leading up to the shooting. We're now told they eventually called law enforcement to report that Crooks was missing, and they were worried. And they also were told, those parents are now being cooperative now with authorities, but they gave them the heads up that something's going on with our son. We are worried. We don't know the texture or the details of their concerns. So in other words, well, were they worried that he had a gun? Were they worried, you know, what were they worried about? Were they worried that he was going to try to attempt to kill a sitting president and then go ahead and turn into an assassin and kill another person and injure two others? It was an attempted assassination on Trump, but he managed to murder anyway. Are we talking about that? What were they giving the cops a heads up about? This is the first time we are hearing this. We'll stay on the story and we will bring you the details, updates as we get them. Crooks' parents were looking for him hours ahead of the assassination.
Yeah, so again, a little different than I first heard it reported. I first heard it reported that it was after the shooting that the father looked around for his son, couldn't find him, looked for his gun, realized that had been taken, put two and two together, and called the police to say, I think I know who your shooter is, which makes more sense. That is a timeline that makes sense to me. Timeline that doesn't make sense is you've got a 20-year-old dude, his parents can't find him, so they call the police, and did they warn, were they saying, you know, I'd like to file a mystery? Was a missing person report filed? Because he was just, they were missing, and they want to know who he was, or were they calling to say, he's missing, and we think he's a danger? And if that's the case, why did they think he was a danger? What had he said prior to that? And if so, how do you have a warning call about, here's this guy, we think he's dangerous, or he took our gun and is going to the rally, whatever. And then you have this, you have the same guy spotted 3-4 times in the hours leading up to the event, acting suspiciously, being noticed by law enforcement. They couldn't put two and two together. They get a report about a 20-year-old dude who may be coming to the rally with a gun. They see this guy wandering around and they don't go, oh, there's the guy. Because I could sort of understand it if they're like, look, we don't want to just like be roughing up everybody who isn't acting the way we think they should, right? Just because some dude is wandering around looking stupid. Like, you don't have to just arrest him and question him. That seems like why would you do that? But if you've got this report and you've got these parents looking for him, and you go up to him and you go, hey, your parents are looking for you, man. Let's, why don't you come with us? Or we'll reconnect you. Just, it doesn't make sense. None of this adds up. And it gets even more interesting. And this maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but not really, but not actually. What has Victoria Nuland been up to for the last couple months? Because we joked about it when she was retiring. When she was retiring and stepping down in March of this year, myself and the crew speculated while we were reporting this, what do you think she's, where do you think she's going now? What do you think she's up to now? She's not the type of person that just is going to actually retire and go lay on a beach somewhere. She's doing something outside of the government. She's doing, there's some other nefarious operation that she needs to resign from her official position in order to coordinate and operate. And we were speculating about, you know, what overthrow and what foreign country she's now cooking up. But what if the operation was here in America? I mean, she leaves in March, and then there's no real reporting about what she's been doing since then. I was looking into it. The last entry on her Wikipedia, the last note made about Victoria Nuland in public is, yeah, she retired in March, and that's it. So for the last several months, what she's been up to? Well, what has she been up to in the years before then? Victoria Nuland's greatest hit, this squid-like angel of death. Leaked audio from 2014 shows she was instrumental in choosing post-Maidan Ukraine leadership. F the EU, she says, in reference to European allies in the same call. And this, of course, was after she helped to overthrow the Ukrainian president. Nuland's husband, Robert Kagan, founded PNAC, that advocated for war with Iraq. She was also Dick Cheney's right-hand man, as it were, during the run-up and throughout all of the Iraq war. She was intimately involved. Nuland told fascist dictator Volodymyr Zelensky to appoint neo-Nazi Dmitry Yarosh as commander-in-chief in 2021. She was involved in misleading the American people about the Benghazi massacre in 2012. She has to plan for Biden to force the firing of the top Ukrainian prosecutor, General Viktor Shokin, in 2015. She admitted in 2022 that in a sworn Senate testimony that the U.S. operates biological and chemical weapon laboratories in Ukraine. She openly admitted to meddling in the internal affairs of Belarus. She arrived in Sri Lanka in March of 2022. Sitting president was then chased out of office in July 2022. She arrived again on the 1st of February 2022. What's next for Sri Lanka? And isn't that timeline pretty interesting? She arrives in Sri Lanka in March, and in July, the president is chased out of office. She resigns from her position in the government in March, and in July, there's an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. U.S. ambassador to NATO concentrated on mobilizing European support for U.S. occupation of Afghanistan in 2005 to 2008, and publicly approved blowing up of Nord Stream 2, which caused widespread EU economic depression in January of 2023. And that's the thing I want to focus on in the next segment. We're about to go to break here, but when we come back, I'll show you two videos. One of Victoria Nuland talking about how the Nord Stream 2 will not be operational and giving a little smirk. This was before the Nord Stream was blown up by American secret forces, special forces. And then there's also a clip of her from a few months ago saying how Donald Trump is not going to be president and giving exactly the same smirk. So how did she know the Nord Stream wouldn't be operational? And how did she, or why did she think Donald Trump would not be president? What's giving her this confidence? Yeah, we'll be right back, folks. She'll start wars. I think she'd kill a president.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs that do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
All right, folks, BrainForce Ultra is back in stock. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I started working here at InfoWars, I didn't believe that supplements really worked. I thought these were just products that people consumed for peace of mind and that our body would flush them out. But one of the first products I ever took was BrainForce Plus, which is the capsule version of BrainForce Ultra. And this is actually more powerful than BrainForce Plus. But the first time I ever took BrainForce Plus, I noticed within 20 minutes that I had a change in my state of mind. And ever since then, I believed in our products and I believed in supplementation as an important part of health. So BrainForce Ultra is particularly special because it's a more potent and convenient form than BrainForce Plus. Now, it's not only going to help you with enhanced cognitive function, focus, but it also is going to help you with increased energy levels. We know that the formula includes yerba mate leaf and green tea leaves, both of which contain natural caffeine and polyphenols. These components provide a sustained energy boost without the crash. Ashwagandha root and ginkgo leaf are included for their adaptogenic and antioxidant properties. Not only will this product help enhance mental clarity and focus, enhance energy levels, but it will do so in a way that reduces stress so you don't feel the anxiety associated with too much caffeine, energy drinks, perhaps like an Adderall or a nicotine. These are all great reasons to buy BrainForce Ultra from InfoWarsStore.com. But perhaps the best reason to get this product, BrainForce Ultra, from InfoWarsStore.com is because by buying products from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep InfoWars on the air. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that there's a war on for your mind, that the globalists and transhumanists and the New World Order are trying to conglomerate all political power so they can subjugate humanity for the indefinite future. But we're not going to let that happen because we're going to do things like go to InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to get BrainForce Ultra. We're going to fight and win the war that is on for our minds, all while keeping InfoWars on the air. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, get BrainForce Ultra, and be the reason we are still on the air.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. It's hard to talk about Victoria Nuland without wanting to do a history lesson to try to illustrate how absurd it is that somebody like this can exist. To be walking around like free. It's crazy. This woman has started more wars. More deaths can be laid at her feet. Maybe anybody else living at this point. It really is wild. Like you would expect maybe as you go through the timeline and biography of somebody who's been in foreign policy in the U.S. government for 30 years, you expect some failures, you expect some successes. You expect some, attempts to do something good that just gets out of hand, an unexpected, intervention, makes things not go quite right. You expect one or two of those, and you expect maybe an equal amount of successes. Her entire career which has spanned my entire life, right? 3+ decades. She's been in office at the helm or just behind the scenes, right? She's always the second in command. She's always the deputy secretary of state or the spokesperson for the secretary of state. I believe she was secretary of state for a little while, right? I think she's always been sort of deputy assistant. She's always just behind the face of the organization. And everything she's been involved in has led to tremendous loss of life, empowering our enemies, destroying America, killing millions. I mean, talk about an angel of death. Talk about a spiritual poison for all of humanity. It's hard to imagine what this century would look like without her. What would this century look like without a Ukraine war, without the wars in the Middle East, without Libya being a failed state and opening up migration to the rest of Europe, without the Syrian civil war bringing Russia in to the conflict in the Middle East and setting the stage for the bloodbath we're seeing now? What would the world look like if these countries were simply allowed to dictate their own fate without the meddling destruction of Victoria Nuland? It's hard to imagine, honestly. I'm not exaggerating it. This woman and her husband, Robert Kagan, they're like the main engine behind a lot of these things. The invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, every foreign policy disaster that America has wrought on the world can, at least in some portion, and usually the majority portion, can be laid at her feet. And yet she's just walking around. And yet she's still, you know, honored as a expert in these fields. It's something that is unique to these people, that their success is completely divorced from their capabilities. And I see it like what happens in Hollywood, where you give some guy a $1 billion franchise like Star Wars, they just run it into the ground. And then they're like, all right, well, why don't you do the same to Indiana Jones next? Right? You would think that, like, if you give somebody a responsibility and the outcome of that is nothing but flaming wreckage, that you wouldn't then promote them to do something else even bigger. But I guess that's because I'm operating under the assumption that, you know, when you make a movie, you want people to watch it and you want it to make money. Or if you are engaged in some sort of geopolitical activity, it's because you're trying to stop bad people and bring about peace. But if the actual intention behind these actions is something else entirely, then I guess maybe she's been incredibly successful in her own way. Perhaps the outcome of all of these things was what was designed, and that's why she's in charge. And it's hard not to go down this path. Nuland, in this article from Stop the War Coalition, stopwar.org.uk, has this article, Victoria Nuland, Farewell to the Spearhead of U.S. Foreign Policy Disasters. Nuland has not just been a high-level U.S. diplomat, she's been the spearhead, the golden girl of the U.S. warmongering neoconservative and liberal interventionist movements, which in barely 2 decades has given humanity the Iraq, Syria, Libya, Ukraine, and Palestinian disasters. And it just goes on and on. I mean, she is just at the center of all of these foreign policy disasters continuously for decade after decade, brutal civil wars, the Maidan coup. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because her profession is overthrowing governments. She is a producer of chaos and civil war. She is a deep state operative of the highest level whose policies have absolutely nothing to do with what's best for America, but entirely what's best for her and the people she works with. And some people are saying, you know, her statements about things like Nord Stream or even the terror attack in Russia where Islamists murdered a bunch of people in a mall. You know, just before that, she was on tape saying, oh, Putin's about to get a big surprise with some asymmetrical warfare. And then that happens. And here she is. We'll go to clip 10 here. talk about the Nord Stream pipeline while it was still operational and before Russia had invaded Ukraine. And yes, she seems to have a lot of confidence that Nord Stream will not be operational in the near future. Let's watch.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies. And I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Did you see it? Did you see the smirk? Did you see her face sort of start to light up there at the very end? She's trying to put on a very serious face. But as she says, I can guarantee you Nord Stream 2 will not go forward. See a little light in her eyes, a little smirk. In the true crime world, they call that duper's delight. You get a bit of a thrill out of lying, or in this case, telling the truth, but in a way that only you recognize. Now, I saw exactly the same smirk on her face, exactly the same almost perfectly concealed glee that she just showed when talking about the Nord Stream pipeline. She had the same look on her face when talking about how Donald Trump will not be president. She seems confident in this as well. So again, look for the smirk as she seems to hint that she knows something about Trump that will prevent him from being president again. Let's watch.
Our economy, et cetera. So I don't think that Donald Trump is going to be president. So if that's what Putin's betting on, he's going to get a unhappy surprise, I think. That is number one.
An unhappy surprise. Now, again, if this was just a government, a public servant, somebody who'd served her government and had some successes and some failures, it would never even enter my mind to think that, you know, she'd be orchestrating some sort of assassination attempt here in America. But when you understand that her history has left literally millions of people dead, I mean, Libya alone is a horror show beyond description. Look at what happened to Gaddafi. And that man was dragged through the street and sodomized with a bayonet on camera. What I'm trying to get across here is the people that run our country are bloodthirsty monsters with no moral compunction whatsoever about murdering anybody. So understand, when we talk about an assassination attempt, a coup, a deep state operation to kill Donald Trump, that's just that. It's not like that's not in the realm of possibility. It's like, no, this is what they do. It is their profession. It is what they've done over and over and over again. And the outcome is always chaos, civil war, and disaster from which they benefit. I'm just wondering if they're doing it here now.
Explain how the central bank digital currency, ESG controlled corporate governance, controlling what you can do and spend, corporations, governments, private individuals, how they use that as the next bubble with the unified ledger. This is key because their bridge to get out of this bubble is the next level of total control to take a giant slice of everybody's life, but not call it a bail-in, just call it a social credit score.
Yeah. So let me, if I may, put this into the context of you and what you've gone through in this bankruptcy that you've had to go through and everything happening with InfoWars. You know, they didn't like what you had to say, so they froze you from your bank account. You couldn't access your money, right? So that took a legal process to get to that point. This is that exact same scenario, them separating you from your money, but without a legal process. They can just do it because they don't like you, because they don't like your ideology.
Now, slow down. That's just key, Dr. Elliot. This is a central bank ledger. Just sounds like a turn people. No, everyone is in bankruptcy, private companies, corporations, the general public. That's why they say you'll own nothing and like it. And then they unify it and take what they want. Your mortgage, everything is unified.
Everything. See, every asset that you have that's in this digital form, whether it's a bank account, checking account, savings account, money market, stock, bond, mutual fund, brokerage account, all of that stuff, and anything with a title like your house, right? You can be put into this unified ledger. Now, the World Economic Forum has explained this really well in the sense of This is digital money. It's programmable money, meaning they tokenize or they put all of your assets into a packet, and that packet is now can be sold, right? This is like a derivative. You can flip off the ownership with the flip of a button saying, okay, Alex, you no longer own all of this stuff that you thought you had. We're flipping the switch and we're going to give it to person B or person C or to the government, right? They can do whatever they want. This is what programmable money and a unified ledger is. And to make it really dangerous is that it's based on your digital social profile and your social credit score. Now, we're not talking about a dystopian future, right? We saw this happen with the truckers in Canada.
The British Prime Minister said, if you don't accept military service, we'll just turn your bank account off. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these things seem to be a stretch in people's minds, right? It's like, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is way down the road. We've seen it, bank accounts.
Well, that's right. You're not covering things that are coming. This is all being rolled out now. They have gas station chains all over Europe, the U.S., including in Oklahoma and Texas, where you've got to swipe a card to get in the building. You got to swipe a card to buy gas just to prove you're even able to buy it. I mean, it's coming in.
We're not just talking about freedom here, right? Financial freedom, getting out of harm's way of these digital assets. We're also doing something that we get the best of both worlds, asset protection and growth. And that's what makes it such an amazing
Nothing's performed as good as silver. And I haven't had a silver or gold sponsor because so many of them sell numismatics, rip people off. You are the number one bullion dealer in America right now because you've got the best deals. Look at that 12-year graph, folks. This is a no-brainer to protect your assets and probably have growth. We can't guarantee anything, but my God, you're crazy if you don't call Dr. Kirk Elliott at 720-605-3900.
What the official story is about the assassination. It's just unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. It's either a level of incompetence that is unimaginable, which is possible with all the DEI programs being implemented by Secret Service and just the attitude that we were just talking about, that like results don't really matter anymore. About ideology or what you can achieve for the enemy. And it doesn't matter if you don't make money or if your geopolitical machinations result in civil war after civil war and chaos and death and destruction, or if your Secret Service detail completely fails to guard the one person you're responsible for. Nothing's done. The person we hired to secure the border is actually letting in tens of millions of people. Well, let's let them stick it out for 4 years, see how it goes, right? It doesn't matter. Who cares? So who knows? Maybe it was just a level of incompetence that we better start getting used to, right? Maybe this is just how it works. And maybe once people wake up to this and realize that the government is incapable or unwilling to bring justice, we'll have a total breakdown of law and order, and people will see to taking justice for themselves. That is the inevitable outcome of this, actually. And this is not calling for violence. This is a warning against it. And talking to my, talking to people from foreign countries that have this type of stuff happen on occasion. They understand how this works. Like, this is just something that happens in a foreign country. You know, people taking shots at the leaders. Only what happens in those countries is those leaders have their own people who will take shots back. Not Secret Service members, but like militias. And it's the inevitable outcome. If you can't get justice through the system, I mean, think about, you know, if a family member of yours is like a victim of murder, but you watch the news and you know that, you know, 99% of the time murders aren't caught. And even if they're caught, they aren't convicted. And even if they are convicted, it's through a plea deal and they get off with a slap of the wrist. But you've just had your loved one senselessly stolen from you. And maybe you don't want to go through the process. Maybe you don't want to try to participate in the charade. Maybe you just want to take justice for yourself. That's where we're headed. And it's a natural reaction. So maybe it was just incompetent. You know, maybe this was just, you know, another data point in the decline of all things American and exceptional. Or maybe this was on purpose. Maybe they knew about the guy in the hours beforehand. Maybe they'd been surveilling him for weeks or months beforehand. Maybe he had been in contact with FBI agents carrying out a honeypot operation. They certainly knew about him 10 minutes before, and yet they let Trump go on stage. They certainly knew about him an hour before, and yet they did not intervene or question him. They knew about it 3 hours before when they took a picture of him, but didn't spread that information to the rest of Secret Service. They apparently knew hours before that when his parents called the police to warn them. So there is overwhelming evidence of foreknowledge of this event and yet a failure to act to stop it. But what about people that knew about this event days before? What about evidence that people were taking actions that seemed to be predicated on knowledge of this event? We covered this a little bit yesterday, but more information has come out about it, and the people involved have actually been identified, and that is the very suspicious high volume of puts placed on Donald Trump's Truth Social media company prior to the attack. InfoWars has the story. DJT stock sees 800% volume spike, record shorts the day before the assassination attempt. Surge indicates that individuals or large organizations anticipated a significant drop in the stock's value by July 15th, a scenario that would have likely have materialized had President Trump died in Pennsylvania, notes the financial outlet Finbold. Were corrupt insiders with prior knowledge planning to profit off of Trump's death? Data appears to show unusual market activity in former President Donald Trump's stock, DJT, ahead of Saturday's failed assassination attempt, prompting concerns about possible foreknowledge of the event and insider trading. One trend highlighted on social media involved an extreme disparity in trading volume regarding the Trump Media and Technology Group Corp stock, DJT, on the Friday before the assassination attempt compared to the previous day, with shares traded increasing from 3.9 million to 35.6 million. Jump of nearly 10 times. Now, this is suspicious on its own. It's especially suspicious when you think about what was known to be coming, right? Supposedly, nobody knew the assassination attempt was happening. What everybody did know was that on Monday, the RNC would begin. So anybody looking at this through just public information, who would put a bet on that stock going down? That doesn't make any sense. You're going to put a bet on the Donald J. Trump stock falling on the days leading up to the Republican National Convention, where it's going to be Trump 24/7, Trump, Trump, Trump. He's going to be posting stuff on Truth. It's going to get a major media push. It's going to be in front of a lot of people. Why would you bet that the stock would go down ahead of the RNC? That doesn't make any sense. Unless you know something. Unless you know something else that is about to happen. Now, Shadow of Ezra posted this, and this information has been spread quite widely. A company named Austin Private Wealth LLC shorted 12 million shares of DJT through a put option. The filing date was July 12th, the day before the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. They manage approximately $1 billion in asset, and this is by far their largest put option. The next closest was Citadel Advisors with 16,000 shares. Austin Private Wealth LLC, a financial services company, is connected to the Bush family through James A. Baker III, a former Secretary of State and close Bush family associate. James A. Baker III serves as Senior Foreign Policy Director at Austin Private Wealth LLC. He's been in the company since its inception in 2006, advising on foreign policy and international relations. George H.W. Bush was a client of this wealth fund and received investment advice from the firm. George W. Bush had spoken at Austin Private Wealth LLC's events and been involved in the company's charitable initiatives. The Texas investment firm Austin Private Wealth LLC shorted those 12 million shares just before the Trump assassination attempt. Some of the organizations that received donations from the investment firm are the ADL, the ACLU, Hadassah, Shalom Austin, Camp Young Judica, or Judea, Austin Jewish Academy, Congregation Beth Israel, and the Jewish Community Center. Died suddenly. Post a long post on this, again, connecting the Bushes to this, as well as the Soroses. The firm that took suspicious and enormous bet against President Trump's Truth Social stock one day before the assassination attempt is Austin Private Wealth LLC, majority held by George Soros's Vanguard and BlackRock. I don't know how much George Soros has in Vanguard and BlackRock. I'm not super aware of those connections. But obviously, there's a lot more information connecting, bizarrely, BlackRock to this shooter. He at least appeared in one of their videos. And they are, of course, heavily invested in ownership of this company. But looks like the crew just brought in a notice. This is a statement from AustinPrivateWealth.com. The SEC filing that showed Austin Private Wealth shorted a large number of shares was incorrect, and we immediately amended it as soon as we learned of the error. No client of APW holds or has ever held a put on DJT in the quantity initially reported. The correct holding was amount was 12 contracts or 1,200 shares, not 12 million, as was filed in error. In submitting the required report for the second quarter of 2024, a multiplier was added by a third-party vendor that increased the number of the shares by a multiple of 10,000 for all option contracts, not just DJT. We did not catch the error before approving the filing. Okay. We filed the report on July 12th to reflect our positions on June 28th. We amended it on July 16th. We deeply regret this error and the concern it has caused, especially at the fraught moment of our nation. Interesting. So they did hold puts on GJG, just not in the quantity initially reported, they're saying. Still very suspicious. And just yet another question in this increasingly tangled web surrounding the Donald J. Trump assassination attempt.
All right, folks. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the the air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself.